The Fraudcast is a diverse podcast dedicated to diverse views. As such, we attract a large variety of listeners and guests. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the podcast or its hosts. Any content provided is of their own opinion and not intended to malign any person, group, or organization. Appearance on the Fraudcast does not represent endorsement or acceptance of their views, either explicitly or implicitly. Listen responsibly.
Look at this group. Holy shit. Look at this group of women.
Oh.
This is an amazing group of women right here.
Danielle, I miss you.
I know, I miss you.
All right.
So good to see you.
Welcome to episode 200.
Duh, duh, duh.
Woo, tonight, woo. We have our normal staff of shenanigan makers of Katrina, Lexi, and Pastor Rebecca, our Doctor of God. But also joining us is the esteemed, the venerable, the amazing Queen Danielle Jabali from 90 Day Fiancé fame.
All hail the Queen.
All hail the Queen. Yes. And okay, so Danielle is my favorite cast member ever, and she's my queen, right? And I've said she's my queen. She's always been my queen, and she will forever be. That will never change. And this is why I'm going to tell you why is, and I was starting to say this because Becca was asking something before we started recording, and so Danielle's seasons on the show were like, you were in the early seasons, and so where it was still real, it was still authentic, and you put yourself out there as like, not the TV stuff aside, just the dating stuff, right? You put yourself out there in a really vulnerable way. And that alone is like mad props, right? Like just doing that alone and then bringing him here and then deciding to do it on TV. Like all of that was really, really huge, right? And then everything that resulted, you know, it wasn't necessarily the most flattering times and situations, right? You know, you lost your job. Right. There was, you know, this, that. We you know, thank God there was no recordable media when I was in college, because holy shit, you know. we don't want to see any of that stuff. And you had it all recorded for years because you did 90 Day Fiancé, you did Happily Ever After, like two seasons of that. You've gone on to do The Single Life. You're doing Pillow Talk now, right now. Yeah. You just started Pillow Talk for this season of 90 Day. So very, very exciting. And so you went through all these things that weren't the best, right? That a lot of people would get, like, they would want to curl up and ignore and cry and whatever, because the really unflattering things were being said about you. And what did you do with it? You were just like, whatever, it is what it is. You were so incredibly vulnerable. And when people would write to you, because I, you know, that was in my heyday of, oh my God, I'm on Reddit and I'm seeing all these things. And people were like, I wrote to Danielle and she sent me this picture and she wrote this on it. She's amazing. And you made light out of it. You made jokes. People are like, oh, can you say this? All your famous sayings and this and that. They'd ask you to write it on the picture or to say it on a cameo. And you do all these things because you're just like, whatever. And I'd love to have you comment on this. But as an outsider, I watched it and I saw the way you handled it. And so it was just always like, oh, that's amazing. That's just a great way. Like, you are yourself. You're unapologetically yourself. You're unapologetically authentic. And I remember the very first time I interviewed you, I said, and the first time I met you in person, I was like, oh my God, you were literally exactly the same. That's amazing. And I think it's just fantastic. And you don't, that's not something you see, I've seen since on almost any reality show. I can't think of much less 90 Day, because it just went the polar opposite of that. So that is why all those, and for those reasons, Turks. Danielle is my queen. So, with that said, Danielle.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Any commentary? Any thoughts?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to open up like that and have everyone think they know the story, the whole story and stuff like that. And with everything that has happened, I've grown a lot over the years.
Yes, you have.
As the show has progressed. I mean, I even congratulated Muhammad on his new wife and baby.
Right. And you guys are like legitimate friends. I got to FaceTime him with you on your birthday last year. Like, that's legitimate that you guys are like have moved through your stuff and you guys are legitimately good friends. And I think that is so fantastic because we do grow and we change and we learn and we move and we're allowed to do that. And you did it so publicly, so publicly. And that just is worth so much to me. And then you're just such a awesome, fun person. Once I got to like learn, once I met you in person, but also you are the higher power that got me and Lexi together. So so, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why you're the queen.
And then you like went on, got your LPN. Now you're finishing up your RN. F all the haters. You're killing the game.
Lord help me with school.
I know. That's why we haven't seen each other.
Well, we have the right person on for the Lord helping you. We have just got a direct line to the big guy.
I'll put in a good word.
we start 5-week classes and I'm already like over it and haven't even started.
And you're working full time while you're doing this. And your kids and your grandkids and all the things. Yeah. It's just you are a true tribute to what like a powerful, strong female role model should be. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting some of your daughters, and they're, you know, fantastic. You know, oh God, Kylie, I love Kylie. Kylie is, come on, does that surprise you that she and I connect so well? I mean, come on. But I mean, you've done a great job and you did it so publicly and you do it so vulnerably and so authentically. And so I'm just going to gush and, you know, it's episode 200. I've done 200 episodes, which Danielle was the basis for many of them. So, yeah, I get to spend some time gushing. Okay. Anybody else want to gush? And 200 episodes.
That's so exciting.
Yes. That's I'm honored to be here for the 200th. That's so cool.
Yeah, I hear a lot of podcasts don't make it past 50. So the fact that we've done 200, I mean, we have like 10 listeners. So it's not like we're maintaining an audience of millions. But really, still, the fact that we've put together 200 episodes, that's pretty impressive. And we all, you know, work full time.
Yeah, we're all like
parents and things. So this is episode 200 and we're going to talk about Seeking Sister Wife in the episode. And we all have varying degrees of thoughts and feelings on it. And we will discuss that. But, you know, we also discuss, you know, last week we were talking about 90 Day and when 90 Day jumped the shark. I say it's season 6. What are your thoughts, Danielle?
Season 6.
Absolutely agree.
That was the season with Jay and Ashley.
Colton and Larissa.
Yeah.
So I got out too soon is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
When I stopped watching after season 3 or so.
Yeah, you could watch through season 6. It would be fine. And at least watch the first couple of seasons of Happily Ever After.
Yeah, definitely.
That was when it was like still kind of interesting.
Gotcha. I will have to go back and watch that.
Yeah. You know, in all your free time.
Right. When I'm not watching Seeking Sister Wife and like preparing for the next course I'm teaching.
Right. Right. And all the other things that you do, because, you know, that's a lot. There's a lot happening. Lots and lots of happening.
I'm glad this worked out with Danielle, though, because I was like, she's working nights, she's going to school during the day, and you were like, I'm off, but I'll be ready by 8. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because my classes changed. Now I have class on Wednesday, so now I'm working Wednesday night, and I'm off Monday and Tuesdays. Well, the last 4 weeks of this quarter, I'll have clinical, so. But that's during the day.
I can't even keep up with your schedule. Remember when you couldn't keep up with mine at school?
Now like
I can't
you're one to talk, Lexi.
I know. I'm just working. If you want to know where I am at, I'm working.
But which work?
I don't know. I wake up every day going, where do I go?
Between workplaces.
Where do I go today? And I call Katrina and Danielle after or before work or driving.
You're like, driving to Montgomery County. So I've got a few minutes and I haven't caught up with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get on the phone call list? I want in on that.
Yes, yes, yes. We should just do like a big phone call.
There you go. Group phone call. Like a group FaceTime.
Yes. And I know, Danielle, you've been trying to keep up the best way you can with watching some of these shows. Have you watched the show? Have you been keeping up or?
With 90 Day?
Well, 90 Day, you're doing Pillow Talk. So, of course, you're watching. Of course, you're watching. Because that's how that production works. That's exactly how that production works.
I mean, I watched the last two episodes of Seeking Sister Wives today. So,
have you watched the prior seasons of Seeking Sister Wife?
No.
Okay, so this is interesting. I want to hear your thoughts generally going into it, not having the history that we all have with the show about these couples.
I was confused.
Hey, so are we. So are we.
I mean, we're confused too, and we watched all the previous episodes.
And we've watched all the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will be very interested in your commentary as we move through this episode.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
All right. Well, should we get into it?
Let's dig in.
Sure, we are discussing season 5, episode 3, Seeking Something Real, and the irony in that title.
Sorry.
Previously, we see Shane meeting Ashley's girlfriend, Grace, and it not going very well. The Merrifields land in Cancun to meet Natalia, but she miraculously, for some reason, can't enter the country, even though production sent people through from Brazil. Then she shows up. Danielle tells Nick she is leaving the family and makes sure to take her plants with her.
In the ruckus.
Yes.
Or the commotion. He heard a commotion.
Yes.
Danielle and her plants and the commotion.
Mm-hmm. Well, we start off the episode with Garrick and Danielle in Cancun. How exciting. And did you guys hear when they said that an IT guy got her through to the country? What does that even mean?
My guess is that's some production person that's with her showed her how to properly like enter her credentials on the whatever website, like IT guy, like here, let's walk you through doing it because we know how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I interpreted that.
And like I mentioned last episode, you know, and Danielle, production works.
It's probably the PA on her side.
Oh, okay. The PA
knows everything.
Yeah, the poor PAs.
Yeah, and it's like when they set the show up there, the production is always making sure that everyone can get across or get through for the most part, right? Like it's all set up.
Yeah, so. Lexi, you were talking about this, that the production does this, right? They're really very on top of making sure everyone can fly where the destinations, you know, their own selves, obviously, and stuff. Becca, your show was done internationally, so everybody had to get there. And Danielle, obviously, you know, you have experience with the international aspect of travel. Yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. Danielle, you first.
Well, my international travel to go see Mohammed, it was all messed up because my flight coming in to get me was delayed. So they had to reroute my whole flight because I was only supposed to have one stop, but then I ended up with two stops. I ended up going from Cleveland to Chicago, Chicago to Germany, and then Germany on to Doha.
Okay. And you had a PA with you the whole time or?
No, because that's when we didn't film it all.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That we didn't get to see. Okay. Becca.
Yeah. So we also didn't have production with us on the way to Costa Rica. They did have us, like, they begged us to, like, film ourselves while we were going, which just felt weird. So I'm, like, sitting next to people on a plane, like, I'm leaving for the retreat. Like, it was just really, and they didn't use any of that, of course, right?
Of course, of course. They just wanted to have it.
Yeah.
Danielle, did Muhammad have any production people with him when he was coming to see you? Okay, no.
No.
Okay. No.
Production didn't start until the day before he arrived. And okay. They filmed me and the girls. And then when the day that he arrived, we had a big mishap because neither me or Muhammad thought about his phone stopping to work when he got into the U.S.
Oh, yeah, huh?
I couldn't get a hold of him, so I didn't know if he made it on his flight from New York to Ohio.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
The tension in the airport. Did he even show up? Right, yeah. Right. Oh,
I forgot about that.
That was why, was because he didn't have a phone.
Ready to go. When he landed,
he couldn't get a hold of someone from, because he had to go from one airport in New York to the other one.
Oh, both in New York?
What?
Why? Oh, I didn't remember that.
JFK to LaGuardia or the other way around?
I think he landed in JFK and he had to go to LaGuardia.
Why?
To Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, to go to Ohio? That?
Ew.
He landed at like after midnight, he did, and so all he had was Tunisian money, so he couldn't even get his money exchange.
Well, Muhammad, that wasn't very smart of you. You should have brought American money. Don't they have the currency exchange at the airports?
So
come on, Muhammad. How dumb and stupid were you?
Exchange. Even at the New York airport, he couldn't get an exchange there because it was closed.
Right.
Oh.
Gosh.
Well, luckily.
I don't travel internationally. I don't have the trouble.
Taxi driver that spoke Arabic and took him to the other airport and took his Tunisian money. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That was okay.
I just had a mishap when I went to film in Arizona with production.
Oh, wait. Okay. Can you share this story with us? Okay.
Where this lady was a nitwit, this PA was. I was talking to her through text. She waits until at 9 o'clock in the morning to arrange my car to go to the airport. And my flight left at 11:30.
Well, no. Oh, that just made my heart stop.
Needless to say, there's no Ubers in Sandusky. Lexi, you've been here.
I have been to Sandusky. Yes.
No.
A few times.
I'm like panicking. I'm like, I'm not going to make it in time for that flight. I'm not. So I told her and I said, normally when the crew does my travel, they usually get a car service because that's what's easiest. Mm-hmm. Well, then she ended up getting a taxi service here in Ohio.
It was like a new PA who had no idea what she was doing, right? They gave you a new one.
Yeah.
You should demand more. Be a diva.
So then she had rearranged my flight. So I had to go from to Texas because at first I was supposed to go to Chicago. So, and then I was late. And then the airport in Arizona, it took her 3 times to get an Uber to my location to pick me up, take me to my hotel.
In Arizona? It's like packed.
That's just Phoenix? Like a normal city.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I should ask what city in Arizona you went to, but.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was Phoenix, right?
I was late getting my homework turned in. I was so pissed because I had planned the earlier flight so I could do my homework when I got there. I'm so mad.
So, like, I just went to a conference in Phoenix and they had cars with no drivers. So I'm wondering. You don't even need drivers. Like,
this
why?
Is what happens when you put TLC in charge of your travel. You get the Flintstones with their Flintstone car coming to pick her up. They're going to send like a donkey and a mule to pick her up because
it's sharp, right? Is it still sharp, Danielle?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, sharp production. I was over it by the time I got done that day.
Can we ask, are you allowed to tell the listening audience why you were in Phoenix?
To film the pillow talk.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know why I like Pillow Talk, Danielle? Is because you don't have to watch any of the episodes because everything important is covered in Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
At a more rapid pace.
You could get everything you need from watching Pillow Talk plus the commentary. Right? Yeah.
So she tried to FaceTime me because I wanted to FaceTime David and Annie, but I was asleep because it was like 11:30 our time. And the next day she was like, oh, you missed talking to David and Annie. I was like, damn it.
Oh, I love David and Annie.
I was so sad. Yeah.
Did you see Ben while you were out there? Was he there?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait, creepy pastor Ben or preacher?
Yeah.
Does he live in Phoenix?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Becca, do you know about Ben? You don't know about Ben, do you?
I don't know about Ben, but now I feel like I should.
You should.
We need Becca to reach out to Ben.
Oh, gosh.
From like one religious person to another.
No. You do realize that Ben is Hannah Kawa's ex-husband, right?
That Ben. I thought you were talking about Preacher Ben. What's his name?
Oh, you're talking about Ben and Mahogany.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, Ben and Akini.
Oh, no, we don't need to reach out. He's why? Yeah, no. Mm. Sorry. My bad. Wrong Ben. There's too many Bens.
You are so obsessed with Ben and Mahogany, though.
Because I don't like them. That's why.
I don't like them.
Danielle, do you have any input on Mahogany and Pastor or whatever, Ben?
That's a weird relationship.
Have you met them?
No.
Either of them?
Nope.
Does he creep you out as much as he creeps me out?
He creeps me out. I mean.
Yeah.
So the scene a couple of seasons ago when they first met, they met at what was clearly an Airbnb, but she was trying to be all like, this is my house. Clearly it wasn't. What are your insider thoughts on what occurred there? Was it just like Airbnb and the even though production always gets Airbnbs, they didn't want to say it this time? Like, what happened there?
I would say probably what happened was her parents probably didn't sign off or her landlord didn't sign off on the location. So then they had to find a different location.
All right.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because in Happily Ever After, the apartment that I met Muhammad in Florida, the reason they got that was because Muhammad didn't want me to know actually where he lived at in Florida.
Was that the infamous outside where you're throwing the binder?
Yes. The reason why we ended up outside was because there was a fan who befriended me. And she was inside the apartment. And once I realized it was her, I was so mad I had to leave. Because I was like, I'm not doing this here for her to embarrass me on TV.
Good and for production you. Had your back.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Because then they cut her out.
Wow. A fan on the show just randomly? Like, what was that story going to be? A girlfriend of his or something?
I don't know how they were going to play it out.
You better hope your dick don't fall off. That's a Danielle-ism, Becca.
I know.
Okay. I'm like, don't look at me like that. I'm just channeling her.
I know. No. And what's funny is like, even though I didn't watch the spinoff, like I heard about that, right? Because I had watched you on the previous stuff. And so then when like my friends were watching it, they're like, oh my God, there was like a binder and like all this stuff. And I was like, good for her.
Good for her. Yeah. That's right. We all have evidence binders now, thanks to Danielle.
Yep. I've got my I go missing binder, and then I've got my evidence binder.
Evidence binder and I go missing binders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. Okay, so back to Seeking Sister Wife.
Yes. So Garrick is just super creepy. Have you noticed how just creepy the men are? I don't know.
Yes. He's like, this is serial killer number one, and we meet serial killer number two later in the show.
Right. So Garrick was talking about how Natalia looks so good and that he's thinking about marrying her because when she was dressed up, she looked good. Did you guys catch that? I was like, really?
I did. I was like about to text you guys like 5 minutes into the show, and I'm already raging and cussing at Garrick because he's like, I mean, it's one thing to appreciate a girl or somebody when they dress up. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, that looks nice. But the way he said this, he says to her, or he says to the camera, right? Like, you know, she was all like casual or something before. And then she got here, she was all dressed up and I might marry her. So it's great that she looks good.
Mm-hmm. He's like Cody number two. Cody Dolph.
So gross. So gross. And the look on his face, he was like,
yes. He looked like a dog in heat. Yes. He looked like a just nasty old creepy man, like hitting on. And I know 25 is not a child. I get that, right? But to
what's the age difference? Yeah, what's the age difference? No, she's really
young. Yeah, no, 25 is young. I'm sorry.
It's young. It's almost very young. Perverted. I don't know. It's me. It's weird. I don't know.
Ugh. It is. Especially considering all the other circumstances.
Where's my phone? I'll look it up.
Yeah, because he's like, I would think that
he's got to be mid-40s.
Yeah, like late 30s, early 40s is what I was going to put them at. But
I'll be 39 next month. If he's my age, I'll be damned. I
think he looks older than he is.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think he's like a hard, you know what I mean? Like, like a road hard, put away wet, but for a man.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, Becca. It's okay. You're virgin ears, I know.
Oh, I'm sure. I've never heard any of that before. Nope, never.
Oh my gosh. He was born October 24th, 1983.
Oh, okay. So he's a year older than I am.
Oh, I'm God.
40 next month.
He's two years older than me.
Right. So he's 42.
And this 41? Girl is
like 41.
Is 25.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big age difference. It's not like outside the realm of possibility age difference, but there's definitely an age difference there.
It'd be one thing if she also, like,
it's side eye age difference.
Right. Well, like if they were able to communicate, and you know, I'm not saying that she needs to be intelligent, have an age, but I'm like, there's no connection there because they can't even speak the same language.
Right.
And then the age difference. Like, what do they have in common? What do they
and really how quickly have this is all moved? He already has a ring made for her.
It's sickening.
Did now, you notice Danielle, that every time? Go ahead.
That was your first time meeting, right?
So this is where I say that I don't believe that. So I think that they already met before and production had them redo the scene.
Another Tim and Jennifer.
Even though
TLC didn't know about Tim and Jennifer, but this you think production did?
I don't know. I just have a feeling.
Okay. I think that's a legitimate. Yeah, I mean, it's all a little too cozy and friendly for me. You know, you've got Danielle and her parents. You've got Garrick and you've got both of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You've got what's her name and her mom also. Right. So it's like this huge family gathering, like on a first date. That seems a little excessive. You know,
Danielle,
I mean?
You didn't plan on bringing one of your children to meet Mohammed for the first time to Morocco. Like that wasn't even on your mind. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this all seems really excessive. Like the way that they did it with Bert was it was more, I think it was all wrong on various levels, but at least it was like, okay, they met her first several times before they brought the kids and her family in to, you know, cause that's like a whole family vacation. You know, that's like the group of people I had when I got married at the beach a couple of years ago, you know, like that's that kind of thing, you know, first date and you bring all of that with you. Like that just seems excessive. Now that said, this guy is exactly the kind of guy who would be this excessive because he believes in Jesus jizz and magic garages.
Danielle, you have no idea. Oh my god.
Well, she saw the Jesus Jizz episode.
Yeah.
Where he talks about the sperm going into the woman's brain.
Oh my god.
Do you see that, Danielle? You're a nurse. What are your thoughts on sperm in the brain?
Yeah, he needs some anatomy.
He's like, oh, I guess it might have been the first episode. So maybe if you've only seen the last two, you might not have seen it. But it was the episode he's like, well, there's actually this like DNA that goes when your DNA goes into the woman, it actually gets into her brain and leaves DNA there, but it doesn't work in reverse. And this is like Jesus's love for us. Now, Becca might need to refresh us as to the theology and scripture behind that, but
there isn't any.
Oh, that's right. It's all bullshit. So Jesus Jizz and his magic garage.
Right. And speaking of DNA and Jesus Jizz, I find it interesting that when they do the hotel rooms, Natalia is staying with her mom, and Garrick makes it a point to be like, there's no hanky-panky without a proposal and a commitment to life. But I'm thinking with Roberta, didn't they have sex before?
Yeah, they had a quickie when they got back to the hotel room right away.
Before there was like, a proposal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like yeah. His wife left the room to go get something, and they just decided to like have sex.
They had a quickie right then and there.
Right. So hypocrisy? I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, gee. Hypocrisy would be the last thing that I'd be fucking concerned with this guy. Yeah. To be honest,
like, he's a walking red flag.
He's got so many other things that are like so batshit that I'm like, I can't.
I've never seen somebody look so confused and also manipulative at the same time. Like, I think it's not his game.
Blink.
Right? No, I think it's his thing. Like, he just is gonna act confused, but really, he's just manipulating everyone because I'm like, he just has this look on his face, like, huh?
And then Danielle, what? One of her two faces always looks one looks unhinged and the other face always looks really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Those are her two faces.
Whenever he goes off on his weird theology or like weird stuff, like, mm-hmm. or he talks about like proposing to her before they've even met, like she looks like super pissed and like is just going to sit there and be super uncomfy. But yeah. Like, doesn't say anything
because she has to put up with it because of her religious upbringing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, well, she says she's excited for the future but also nervous, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Natalia says she's fearful, she's never been in a polyamorous relationship before, polygamous, whatever.
I don't think she knows what she's getting into here. Like you said, they don't speak the same language, right? Which is only as much of a barrier as you let it be, which these people aren't putting forth any effort, clearly. Like, what are they talking about?
Like the translator app is another like person in the whole show. It's another character, it's another
yep, it's another cast member.
Yes, a cast member, thank you. But it's just weird. But she says that Natalia said that it's one thing to be like chatting with somebody from afar, but it's different to see if there's a connection in person. But I feel like she was either nervous on camera or she just didn't have the connection.
Or she's nervous in front of the serial killer that doesn't blink.
Yes.
That has magic revelations in his garage about where he needs to put his Jesus jizz and how quickly.
Oh my God.
I'm never going to be able to be in a garage again and not think about Jesus jizz.
You're welcome.
Where's my moment? I've never had a God come over me and tell me something in a garage.
Okay, so when I come to visit y'all, we're gonna have a revival in a garage, and then you too can have the experience.
Let's do it.
Excellent. We could do the revival the same time we do the seance spirit thing to contact the dead spirits from my house.
Oh yeah, what? Becca won't be there for that one.
Oh, you don't know about this, Becca. There was a murder suicide. There was a murder suicide in my master bed upstairs. Yeah.
No.
The husband killed the wife, shot the wife, and then went into the bathroom, sat on the toilet, and shot himself. So we called the suicide shitter.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you find out about that? Was that like when you bought the house or?
No, we didn't buy the house. We're renters, which in Virginia, there's no law that requires
dissemination of that information unless you're buying the house. To renters, oh, there, you don't owe the same. So that's why we didn't know when we rented that that had occurred. It had right. we bought been buying, we it would have been disclosed. No, I think I was, I'm really close to a lot of people in the neighborhood. I'm on the HOA and very active with my neighbors and stuff. It's an awesome neighborhood that I live in. And somebody, you know, people live here a long, long, long time. And people were talking about, somebody was saying, oh yeah, that was like when the, whatever, the murder suicide. I was like, wait, what? And I had to have it explained and everyone, oh yeah, it was, it was this whole, and then I was able to look it up and there's not much information out there. There's only like a couple of mentions of it, but it confirms it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know what that reminds me of? You guys ever watched my crazy ex-girlfriend?
No.
Where they end up, oh my gosh, you all would love that show so much. It's
okay.
It's Rachel Bloom and like original musical numbers. It's so fun. It's on Netflix. But anyway, there at one point she's like renting a place and they find out like multiple murders have happened there. And so they just like that comes in as a joke like pretty regularly. Anyway, that's what it reminded me of.
Your mic's out.
So we keep talking about one of the times when Danielle's out here, we need to come over and do a...
So Danielle, do you want to tell them about your first time ghost hunting with me?
What?
So Danielle did not really believe in ghosts. Well, you didn't disbelieve. You're just kind of like indifferent.
I didn't disbelieve, but yeah.
What did you think after experiencing what happened?
I believed more.
I believed more.
Me and Lexi were sharing a room and this was when she was ready to pop and yes. she was hot and
I was like so hot that I was about to leave the hotel. Yeah. It was so hot I was done. Like I couldn't do it. It was nine.
Now tell everyone where you guys were ghost hunting at.
Farnsworth in Gettysburg.
Oh
yeah,
I used to live in Gettysburg. Yeah.
Yep. So we were at the Farnsworth. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
And to give people an idea of what we're talking about, lots of
people died.
Yeah.
Lexi told the spirits to make it cooler in the room. And within a couple of minutes, it was cooler in the room.
Ice cold. It went from 100 degrees heat blasting in my face to ice cold. Danielle goes, what the hell? I was like, I know there's a nurse midwife spirit that lives here. Can you please help me? Because I think I'm going to die. And then boom, it got chilly and it stayed cold the rest of the night. It was the middle of winter. It was December because I was about to give birth. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think it was Kaya?
No, I think it was something else.
Okay.
There were other things that happened. I mean, like
Spirit
box. Remember the voice that came over the spirit box that said all of our names? Yeah. It was like Danielle, Michelle, Lexi. Different. Oh. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And we did this for a bachelorette party.
Hey, I'm down with that. I love me a good ghost hunt.
Now, how did that? I have so many questions. Anyway,
yeah. Welcome to our world, Becca.
Wild.
It's wild on this side. We only just like barely let you in before. We didn't want to scare you too much. Now we're just like let all the crazy loose. Like see it all.
This is Becca's awesome. I'm learning so much.
She's gonna put in her resignation letter.
She's gonna be like, no more.
And then at the very end of it, it's gonna say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for your souls.
No, I'm like, bring me down there. Let's do some weird stuff. Like,
yes.
Let's get back to Seeking Sister Wife. Speaking of weird stuff,
we're back to the Davis family. So yes, we are talking about weird stuff now.
Now we're talking about Danielle Davis.
Yeah, we know how much I dislike Nick. So Danielle agreed to speak to. There's a lot of Danielle's happening right now.
Too much Danielle.
Yeah. So Danielle, Nick's wife, girlfriend, decided to speak to producers after leaving the house. And she said she moved out because she wanted some time and space to figure out what she wanted to do and that she loved the family. But she's okay. But she wanted to figure out if she was okay with everything that comes with it because they want to find a new wife. And she's just not sure. And by moving out, she was able to not disrupt the flow of the household. So I get that with the kids and Nick sitting on his ass, twiddling his thumbs and, you know.
He's thinking.
Thinking. She didn't want to interrupt his thinking. Yes.
Thinking deep thoughts. Yes.
Right. She said she didn't say goodbye to Jen in April because she didn't want to break up. But whatever. What do you think about that whole scene? That was kind of a waste, I feel like. She's like, okay, yeah, and then whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I have questions too, because like, not to like fast forward, but like, so they make this big deal about how she got a lease on an apartment, right? Like it was a title card. And then like, she just, it's like, oh, she moved back in.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
See,
I think it's like the solar system. You know how the planets move, and Nick was talking about how some, maybe it was just like,
I don't think she moved back in. I think if she actually got an apartment and moved out and did all that, like she's not moving back in because the producer said, oh, let's talk about this. Her issue about them dating too fast can be handled by having conversations with your spouses, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing you have 18,000 conversations about in polyamorous relationships, right? Like that's like all, if I learned nothing else from couple to thruple, it was all they do is fucking talk and process this shit all the time. So I would think it would be more appropriate in that situation if that's really what her issue was. She felt that it was moving too fast. Because she's always known that they wanted to expand beyond her. So that's not new information.
Right. That's what I was going to say. But
she's been in this relationship for 2 years. So logically, the only issue with the other people having somebody else in is the timing of it.
Well, I think she just got too attached to Nick and she doesn't want to share him. I think that she accepted that right at the beginning. Like, yes, I know there's going to be someone new. But then as the relationship progressed, I feel like she was probably like, no, I'm not comfortable with this. I don't want to share because she's already on the outskirts of the solar system.
Right.
So she doesn't want to get pushed off into the black hole and never to be seen again.
I feel like this metaphor has died.
Yeah. You tried to stretch it there. I don't know that one worked. But I feel like
she's the last on the totem pole. Literally. I feel like
that goes with my theory. Yeah. Because her reason for moving out and getting a new apartment can't be what the stated reason is on the show. I think there had to be something else much more serious for her to do what she did. Right. And I think that reason you just gave, Lexi, is actually, I think that's pretty spot on. I think.
Mm-hmm. Either that or she was tired of doing all the work. I mean, I shouldn't say that because I know he's a stay at home dad now. So I get that. But I'm saying like
stay at home thinker dad.
We've seen the women go to work, come home, cook the meals, do all the stuff and him just sit there. So maybe she's just like, maybe this life isn't for me.
There's no way.
Danielle's like, that's a no for me.
There's a lot I want to say, Danielle, and I'm not going to, but you know what I'm thinking? I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad.
That's intriguing. Anyway.
Yeah. Not bad. Just tell you guys off the camera.
And I think when she said to the producers that she, you know, she's moving back in, I don't think she's moving back in. They're just saying that, right? And she's going to talk to them and they're going to have this conversation and stuff, but they've all like understood that it's all going to be fake. This is why I hated this episode. I think every conversation on the show was fake.
It was super fake.
Everything was just completely staged. The Garrick stuff in Mexico, I think was the least, but everything else was complete bullshit made up and I hated it. And so
the whole scene with the Ryans was just ridiculous.
Can we talk about how contrived that was?
Yes. Let's move on to the
Ryans. So we meet serial killer number two, the Ryans from Texas, Becky and Justin. And I feel like Justin is like a decent looking dude, a little weird, a little creepy, crazy eyes.
He's a serial
eyes.
Killer that's about to like throw his lasagna against the wall.
A lot of women like bad boys. I don't know.
I don't think he's a bad boy. No, I think he's like
a sociopath. Like, totally.
Yeah. 100% yes. Sociopath. Well, potential wife beater.
And let's talk about how creepy this was because he was trying to defend the fact that he was saying that him and his wife, Becky, they met when they were young. They were teenagers and she was in high school. And he said she was in her early teens when she was hitting on him. But, you know, it just, whatever, he made some excuse up.
She was 16 when they got married. 16. So how young do you think she would be when he was like, no, that's off limits?
I say 13. I hate to say that, but
yeah, it's probably right.
and he was probably 16 because he's 3 years older than her. So he was 19 when they married. And then, of course, he goes on to say, well, that's kind of normal, like in our area. Or she said that it's normal in our religion and area. I'm like, okay.
I don't know
about that. But then she goes on to say that her dad was the pastor of their church and he had many wives and he believed in polygamy. And that she was just a little upset that she didn't really see him that much, but she had such a good support system from everyone else, which is what we hear in every family until the truth really comes out.
Let's gloss over all the actual issues. Was this when she was saying that they combed through the literature to find things to justify? The way she said it, yeah. The choice of words.
She basically, the translation is they basically proof text yeah. Scripture.
Becca, I really, really want to hear your thoughts on this whole opening sequence with these people.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I tried to do some research around what part of religion are they from? I'm assuming some sort of Christian because they said pastor, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find anything. I spent a good 20 to 30 minutes searching around. I couldn't find what their background is, which is interesting because they often make a bigger deal about religious stuff on the show.
Yeah.
And they just sort of got there was those few sentences about it and my dad was the pastor of the church and he looked at scripture and found all these Bible verses to tell him that it was okay, I think is what she said. Yeah. And I'm so basically he took stuff out of context and he
cherry picked, right? Right. Cherry pick information.
You called it proof texting?
Yeah, proof texting. So that's basically a term for lifting a scripture passage out of context and using it to justify stuff, basically.
Like Jesus juice.
Sure. Jesus juice is not in the Bible, Jesus. But if it were.
If it were.
But I was just very confused by that whole opening sequence because I was where in Texas is there a Christian pastor hanging around with a bunch of wives? And clearly there's other people in that congregation doing the same thing and they're marrying kids off, right? And so obviously that's a thing. So I'm just very confused. I want to know more and I cannot find anything to save my life.
And when they talk about the woman, she probably is a girl, the woman that they were dating for 9 months, Stephanie, they blurred her out. So obviously she didn't want to be on TV, but from what I could see, right, she looked like she could have been younger. I don't know. I had the vibe that she was younger than them. And then she ghosted them, I guess, after some time.
That's funny. Yeah. They were I wish that the best case scenario would be Stephanie to come back. And I guess, yeah, she was deciding if she wanted in or out or whatever. And I'm okay, well, clearly she's not ready to commit to you. So why do you want that person in your life? Right.
Yeah.
That's me.
And if you believe in polygamy so much, why are you waiting till you have 6 kids and you're in your 40s? All of a sudden now?
That was now my question. I'm they've been married for 25 years. So why are they now oh, let's do this thing? What?
It doesn't make sense to me.
The broadcast will be right back. Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it and it's super, super comfortable and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the show.
You know how most of the guys that defend polygamy are like, it's not about sex at all. It's about this, it's about that, whatever. He said it's not just about the sex.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's all these other things too. So clearly, in my head, the way I'm filling it all in, all the holes in, is that they've been together this long. He's not getting his rocks off anymore with her because he's this weird controlling guy and he wants more. So they're just using it. They're cherry picking the Bible to justify it, which is exactly what he said on camera or whatever they said. And then it's all his choice. You know what I mean? Like he's doing it to get his rocks off now.
Yeah.
Daniel, maybe. What do you think about that couple?
I don't get why they waited so long to decide to do this now. I mean, six kids later and then now you want to do it.
And the guy's so quiet too. Like his wife has to be the one to quote organically meet someone in a bar, which we know was set up by production.
It was empty bar.
Well, first, before we get to that scene, then I want Danielle's thoughts on this because the production plan, I want her opinions on what she thinks happened. But initially, so they're sitting down and this is their introduction. He says, whatever, I'm Justin, and this is, and he starts to introduce his wife. And she's like, and I'm Becky. And he's like, you're gonna let me go first. And the way he said it and the words he used and the way he said it were very this controlling kind of almost under the breath mumbling, like you know better, right? Like it's just a tone.
I got that vibe too.
Yeah, it's just a tone just for her to remind her who's in charge. And what's going to happen if she doesn't comply? Like, that's that.
And that's why I would think they came from a more conservative Christian background, because you can see similarities between her and Danielle with Garrick. Is like they just have similar ways of being. She just seems to like break out of that mold a little more, but only within the confines that like he allows her to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
he makes her go and organically meet someone because you know he's shy or whatever. But it's really his way of, if I give her this, she'll think she's got some kind of autonomy in it.
Totally. Can mm-hmm. we talk about how she approached the woman?
Super awkward.
She didn't explain anything. She just went over and was like, "Hey, how are you? Do you want to date my husband?
Are you single? Do you want to date my husband?"
Yes, that was it.
In what way I would do that?
In what universe is my dog's getting jealous of the microphone? She's wanting in on this action. In what universe is that ever a normal way to approach or talk to anybody ever for anything? Never.
No. Like, it'd be one thing if she went over and she's like, "Hey, let me tell you a little bit about how we live. Would this be interesting to you?" Which is, we've seen other couples do that. So I don't know why she just marched on over there and was like, "Are you single? Date my husband," basically.
And then he's like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And it was this really weird, creepy, controlling vibe.
Sounded so scripted. Like production was like, "Okay, go over there and just say this."
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Say this. Ask about tomorrow, because tomorrow we're gonna. Yeah. Tomorrow we're.
Yeah. Because tomorrow we have a shoot scheduled.
Right. Exactly. It was just so fake.
So Danielle, the expert here, walk us through what was going on in this scene from a production standpoint.
I would say they probably paid the lady to film.
Did they tell her in advance what she was filming?
Yes, because there's no way any normal lady would agree to have another lady come up and ask, "Do you want to date my husband?" There's no way.
Okay, so she was informed of what they were going to be talking about ahead of time. Okay.
That's my theory, because in the first season, the bar scene where Muhammad was playing pool at and the lady comes up to him, they paid that lady to come up to him.
Wow.
Yep, yep, yep.
Production. See, and that's why I think in the other couple, that woman, Grace, we'll call her Grace, the makeup artist, universe channeler,
slash life therapist,
slash life entrepreneur person. Therapist. vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free. Grace. That's why I think she exactly what Danielle just said. I think production paid her to do that thing, and that's why it was set up the way it is, and that's why it's so awkward because none of it is real, and they're all terrible actors.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember when we were in Ocean City filming The Single Life, and production was like telling people that were asking what we were filming, just telling them it was a commercial. It's a mayonnaise commercial. They specifically said mayonnaise.
A mayonnaise commercial?
Something what? Crazy. Yes. What? Was it a mayonnaise? I can't even remember.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Why mayonnaise?
I don't know. They were just fucking around with everyone. They didn't care. It was just like they're making stuff up.
Yeah. That's so crazy because when we were filming, like they were just like, just tell people we're doing a like retreat. We're at a yoga resort. Like, what do you tell people?
You, yeah, everyone, you were on a retreat.
Everyone knew who Danielle was too. That's probably why. People were coming up, so it's not like the first so season.
Not tip off everybody what she's filming.
Right.
How do you feel about being part of a mayonnaise commercial?
Oh my god.
Is that how they bottle the Jesus jizz? All right, I'll stop.
Oh my god, Becca, we're turning her to the dark side. Katrina, this is your fault. Katrina, you did this.
The little to-go packets.
Oh god. Oh my god.
When you need your salvation, but you also gotta make soccer practice by 5. Oh my
god. you need a fast infusion of Jesus jizz. Use the takeaway packets.
I'm dead. Oh my god.
I'm dead. I'm legit dead. Oh my god. Oh, Danielle's crying.
Danielle's okay. Like, wait, what did
sorry,
I
do? Danielle.
So wait, where
were we? Production's at times.
Production's awful. Okay, so talking about this other couple, right? They show this other completely contrived scene. This woman, there was Shane and his best friend Rachel. Or whatever, Rachel, with the bad boob job. She had the webbing between her boobs. You're not supposed to have the webbing between your boobs when you get a boob
job.
What's
a webbing? What do you mean?
Like this part right here. Like, see how that goes to your, like, she actually, like, had skin there. Like, it was webbed. Because it's a bad boob job.
Oh, I thought they were real.
Well, I also had a question about, like, why is she dressed for the pool if they're not swimming?
Yeah.
Like, I was very confused.
So she could show off her boob job that she clearly recently got, and they're not quite. Look at him, though. I'm going to send you guys a picture, and I'm going to point out the webbing.
I think Shane should leave Ashley for Rachel. They went at a competitive beer pong tournament. I feel like the vibes were there.
Rather than the axe throwers?
Yeah. I mean, he sounds like he has a fun life, even though he's a little bit of a goofball.
Right. Like, he's doing, like, competitive axe throwing and, like, competitive beer pong. Like, he's living the life, man.
I feel like he's just, like, he's like a frat boy. He found a way to be a frat boy for the rest of his life.
But I feel like he's like nice. He
found a way to do it. Professional beer pong. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Did you all know that was a thing? Because I didn't. Okay, cool. No. I was like, what? You met at what?
No. Nope. Uh-uh. No. I mean, my drinking days or my college days, beer pong and all that. Like, beer pong wasn't even really a thing when I was in college in the early 90s, late 80s. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I was in college in the early 90s. Yeah. So we didn't really have beer pong. And then, I mean, it wasn't really a thing, you know, as I was a, you know, recluse alcoholic drinking in the corner of my room by myself with my box of wine. Like, that's not exactly something that you're not out, you know.
That's not a social thing.
Yeah, not being social. So, yeah. No.
Well, you didn't miss much because beer pong is disgusting. Because, like, we would be playing in a garage. I guess we're just going to talk about garages the whole time. And, like, and like the ball would, like, right, you would throw it, and, like, the ball would hit, like, the ground, and then you'd put it, like, it would land and drink. It was just gross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, it sounds gross. I mean, we played quarters.
Oh, yeah.
Like the good Gen Xer that I am, right? We played quarters. Everybody's table, parents' dining room tables had the dings on them from bouncing quarters. And got, sure. I mean, I guess that's better, slightly better, having the quarter go into the beer rather than the ping pong ball that's been everywhere in the garage. God knows what kind of Jesus juice. God. Well, I guess God would know what kind of Jesus juice. It is his son. Answer all right.
I was just thinking about garages and I went off on my ADD train of thoughts. And then I started thinking about Mary and how Cody wanted Mary to live in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
In the barndominium.
The barndominium. Live above the garage. Not even in the garage. She wasn't good enough for that. Above the garage.
And she wasn't she like, he just wants to put me out to pasture with like all the crap he like wants
doesn't
to
use.
Store. Right. Like
the broken equipment and the
oh my gosh. Anyway.
Well Shane goes on to explain the dynamics of what the relationship would look like if Ashley would have met a girl, a woman, that she would have a relationship with her, but he would not have a relationship with girlfriend. It would be a completely platonic relationship, which I think is like the first time they actually define what that would look like.
I was going to say they use this, obviously, they set up this conversation as a plot device to explain what the dynamic's going to be. And we wondered about this. Yeah.
Well, right. And I also find that interesting, right? Because when it's like the traditional idea of polygamy in this thing, no one ever has that conversation. But like here, just because there's a bisexual in the mix, they're like, we have to make sure to be clear that he's not having sex with this other person.
That's true. You're right.
You're right. Yet again.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's interesting that when Grace made fun of Shane for not going to therapy, that he hasn't been to therapy at all, considering his wife is a psychiatrist. I don't know. I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think if you marry a psychiatrist that maybe you would have had at least like one therapy session with someone?
Or like went to therapy like after
at some point,
her? I don't know, something
at some point. She, I don't know. That's just weird to me. Maybe
his
not.
Therapy is throwing axes.
There you go. Beer pong. We cut back to the Merrifield family. Everyone's swimming in the jungle.
Well, some of them were swimming in the jungle.
Right. Natalia said she's shy, and then Garrick's just creepily looking at her taking a shower before she gets in the water, thinking about having gorgeous kids with her.
Yeah.
And also, she's like, he's like, fuck this place in the bats.
Yeah. And he also was like, oh, she's in a bikini. I'm like, that's not a bikini.
It's not.
It's a one piece that has cutouts. Like, what? Anyway.
Garrick's mind is
like,
just...
he's such a 12-year-old. He's like, like drooling over her. Like, oh my God, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
Danielle must like look at him. Not our Danielle. Danielle two ends. And yeah. Two ends and two faces. That she must, because she looks at him with so much disgust sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, that she's stuck in this, like, I have to do it. I have to be here. I have to be in this. And if you could explain a little bit, Becca, about why she feels like she has to stay. Because I think people don't, like, I didn't get it. I think other people don't get it either, because I saw a lot of comments on social media this week talking about that specifically. Can you give us a little insight into that and explain it?
Yeah, it's interesting because this came up when I was reading Jill Duggar's book.
Mm-hmm.
About how she was talking about, right, this idea from the Institute for Biblical Life Principles, IBLP.
Mm-hmm.
They had this big like umbrella of authority where the big umbrella was like God. And then there's like all these other little umbrellas where you're under the authority of the umbrella you're under in the
right.
diagram. And so for the ladies, they are under, right? They're under their husband's authority. So like, you are trained from birth, literally, in this high control religion, that like, if you step outside that umbrella of protection, like bad things are going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are no longer under God's blessing and you are screwed, basically. They would never say it that way. I just do. but like
it's your interpretation.
Right. Yeah. That's just my words. But like she says multiple times in the book how like she, because like she was still under the umbrella of protection from her father, right? Jim Bob, that like that's kind of messed up that she not like, even when she gets married, like it's still messed up that she's under the like authority of her husband, but then she's still under the authority of her dad too. Like it doesn't go away. And so she
it doesn't transfer from dad to husband. It just adds another layer.
Right. It just adds more men that have power over you. And so she like,
God, when you put it that way.
Yeah. And so like, that's why like when Jim Bob was doing questionable things, like she didn't feel like she could say anything because from birth she was taught like you can't step away from that umbrella or like get smited. I don't know.
Right. All the things that they believe.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily saying that they have those teachings in their heads, or maybe they do. I don't know. Cause I don't know.
Cause we don't know specifically what their conservative religious background is, but
they probably have some version of that. And so it's been ingrained in her. I don't know if she's been in the faith since birth, but definitely ingrained in her for many years. And so she cannot step outside of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she sits there and looks like disgusted at her husband.
Super uncomfortable.
And has to somehow make herself okay with the choices he's making regarding where and when he's putting his Jesus jizz to work.
Yeah. And to be fair, like I was actually really surprised that in a separate interview, like she actually said, like, I think this is moving too fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like good for her. But notice she didn't do it in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that she's
it's not changing her behavior.
Right. Like she's still going with whatever he wants because that's what she's been trained to do.
Right. And that's what I think I it's stuff like that that was confusing me because I'm like, if you think this, then why aren't you saying it? And that's why I wanted you to sort of go into this a little bit to help sort of explain some of the context around why they stay in those situations. I mean, any of us on the screen, we're all like, no, we're not going to put up with this. And we feel like we can get out, but like out from under it or that whatever, but we were raised with a completely different mindset than they were. So of course because we weren't raised in that, of course we're going to say, oh yeah, just get out. It's not.
That's one of the reasons I had the conversation with Muhammad because he's Islam background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when I started digging into that, I realized that they could have more than one wife. And mm-hmm. I made sure that he wasn't going to take more than one wife, where he's from, Tunisia, they can only have one wife. Tunisia is one of the few countries where they can only have one wife.
Interesting. Mm. Do we know why that is?
I'm not sure why that is, but I just know that Tunisia, they can only have one wife.
Interesting.
Huh.
Because he would have had to show papers when he got married to this new wife that he was divorced from me.
Interesting.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. So because he is Muslim and follows the Islamic tenets,
even though we didn't see the Muslim couple in this episode at all.
Oh, you're right. We didn't
because they introduced the new couple.
Yeah. Which is
they must not have a good like storyline. Cause remember the last time we saw them, they were just sitting around a table. They didn't do
anything.
There's
something weird that is happening here because what couples, like, remember we were talking about how sometimes in like production when they're going to phase somebody out or whatever, maybe they'll front load this or they'll have to stretch it out because they actually dropped a couple that we didn't know that was even in existence. Sometimes like they have to move things around.
Oh yeah.
It really feels like something like that is going on with this, but
because it's slow moving.
This episode was so bad. Yeah. So bad. And I was like, they're really stretching to fill episodes here, and either the production changed and they're like saying, oh, production value doesn't matter anymore, we're just gonna go fake the more fake, or they're gonna take the 90-day route and go the more fake, it doesn't matter, right? Or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the pacing just felt weird too. Like it usually moves much faster than this episode. Like literally the Ryans like fake hitting on a plant in an empty bar was like
hitting on a plant,
right? It was like a quarter of the episode.
Yeah.
It's like they're stretching to fill time, and it just feels so weird and icky. That's why I hated this episode.
You know what also felt weird and icky to me was Danielle meeting Natalia, because that shit was awkward.
Yeah.
I felt like the weird vibes. I don't know. It just didn't feel it. Just
especially when they juxtaposed it against the meeting when she met Bert, which was clearly they had a connection. Well, that's what happens when you talk to somebody for a long time before you go and meet them in Cancun and all that other jazz.
I'm just getting like really bad vibes from this Natalia chick. I don't know.
Well, I feel like she's manipulated a lot. She has probably no idea what she's really, you know, it's not like it doesn't feel like an organic relationship where they're genuinely considering.
No, she was an Instagram follower or something. Did you hear how they met?
Yeah, it was like on social media.
Yeah. He slid into her DMs.
And it's probably like, hey, I'll give you a lot of money if you marry me and come to, you can come to the United States. Like, you know, he did all that icky passport bro shit that happens, you know, where you know, oh, I'll give you money, I'll pay for this, I'll pay for that, I'll be your sugar your daddy, da 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 da, I'll get you to the United States. You just have to agree to this unconventional relationship. And she probably has absolutely no idea any of the rest of it, because she is vulnerable. She doesn't speak the language.
Right.
If she comes from the same really vulnerable population that clearly Bert came from, you know, where is he drawing these women from? You know, what population? You know, like, we don't know.
Didn't they say she was a lawyer or something?
He said she was a lawyer.
Graduated law school or something.
He said that, right?
Okay. Yeah, he said that. But I also,
that's like Lisa Lisa and Usman on 90 Day being a doctor. when Usman was telling his family that she was a doctor.
Don't even remember that,
dude. Yeah, that's where like my friend Dr. Baby Girl Mary Payne over on Pink Shade, that's where her name came from.
Dr. May. Oh wait, now I do remember, because she was talking about marrying the white lady and like yeah and then she's like, he's basically like
she's a rich white doctor,
yeah,
and as a way to justify why he was going to marry her so that they'd be okay with it.
Right. I do remember that. I remember that conversation now. Oh,
it could also be, I was thinking about this for Natalia and Danielle and Lexi, feel free to jump in. But like, I remember when filming started, like, I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I remember being like deer in headlights. Like, I don't think I fully understood that it meant like multiple, like, camera operators in my face, right? Like, I just didn't know what that was going to be like. And so it could be part of that like, okay, not only is she in like this vulnerable spot of like considering a unconventional relationship with people that she doesn't speak the language with, but then also you've got like cameras in your face.
That's true. No, I agree with you on that. It's very intimidating.
Yes, until you get used to it.
Yeah, then it's like they're not there at all, which is terrifying. But
yeah,
when you get used to it, you'll let the audio guy put
microphone.
You'll do it wherever. Because one time we filmed at my school when I was going to Bowling Green, and he was trying to mic me up. I said, "Just do it here. I'm used to it. Just do it here."
That happened to me in the bathroom too. I was like so pregnant, and they were trying to. Jordan was trying to put the mic on. He's like, okay, I'll just turn. I'm like, I don't care. Just do it. I don't freaking care. It's my belly.
That's what,
like, my body's not my own at this point anyway.
Yeah. There was one time they had to replace the mic in my mic, or the battery in my mic. And like, we were just like in the middle of the beach filming, and I had a dress on, and I was just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just like lift it up. I was like, I have shorts on. It's fine.
Lifted up my dress. Do what you gotta do.
Like, what are you gonna do?
I feel so left out, not having had my own reality TV filming experience. Just kidding. I don't really feel left out. It's fine. I'm kidding.
What show can we like nominate you for?
I want to go on another season. I want to do Lost Resort season 2, but with you, Becca, as one of the healers there.
That would be cool.
And Lexi needs to be there to do acupuncture.
Yes,
that'd be
please.
Fun.
I would love that.
Which, by the way, I've been mostly pain-free since I left your office on Thursday, Lexi.
Oh, yay!
I was telling everybody at work today because everyone's like, oh, they were surprised to see me. And I was like, because I feel good. I've been feeling good. Like, oh. I still have weakness. I can't feel half my leg. But the pain, without the pain there, it's so much more manageable. Anyway,
oh my gosh.
So you need to be there to do acupuncture.
Danielle could be the nurse that just walks
on the medical staff.
So when we do ayahuasca,
make sure we're not going to die.
Yeah,
we do ayahuasca and puke our brains out.
We all have chronic medical conditions, so we need you there on the medical team.
That's true. So fun fact: this has nothing to do with anything, but like, I found out when I was on Lost Resort that there's another one that people use called Wachuma, which is kind of like peyote. It's a similar idea, but it's in Peru and Latin America, and it's like a gentler version of like what ayahuasca does. Like, you don't have the like purging
stuff with it,
because I can't do that, because you don't want to see me if I like throw up my meds, right? Like,
right,
I didn't throw up on the show because I was like, I'm not throwing up my meds, everyone else can throw up around me, that's fine.
Yes.
Danielle, they made us drink, well, they didn't make us, but one of the things they had us do was drink like this awful tobacco product to like make us barf.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be like, I don't know, like a spiritual cleansing or something, and I was like, no, I take medicine, I'm out. No, thank you. Right.
You did the sweat lodge for a little bit though, didn't you?
I did two of the four rounds.
Okay.
I would have done the whole thing, but like extreme temperatures are a big trigger for
yeah,
my illness.
Like me too. I can't.
Yeah. For most autoimmune. So I wasn't going to do any, and they
yeah,
were like,
I thought you weren't.
No. And they were like, Aqua can sit with you.
Aqua. That bitch.
No, thank you. And so, but I got there, and when they were explaining it, they were like, we actually made the first round not as hot because we know there's some people here who have like temperature issues. And I was like, well, if you did it for me, like I'll go in. So I went in for the first round and it was fine. And then I wasn't going to stay for the second round, but I was like, yeah, why not? It wasn't too bad. And like production was like freaking out. They were like, do you want to get out? Are you sure? You know? And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm fine. And I did the second round, but I was starting to have like neurological symptoms and stuff after the second round. So I peaced out after that. But
I got to go back and watch it again. That was such a good.
Go watch it knowing Aqua is QAnon batshit. I mean, we knew she was crazy anyway, right? But like,
God,
I hated her.
Anyway, Danielle, you have to watch the show. It's different.
It's a Lost Resort on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
On TBS.
Yeah.
Unusual.
It used to be on Max. They just pulled it on Max. So you have to like pay for like, I don't know, like $15 or $20 to watch it on like Prime Video, but it's there. If you're ever interested. The first episode is free on YouTube. So if people ask me about it, I'll just send them like the link for the first free episode.
Okay.
So you can decide if you really want to like commit for 10 episodes. But anyway, good times.
Yeah, I saw the show and then I got obsessed with Becca and Pastor Dr. Becca. And I got obsessed with her and started following her on like Instagram and stuff. And then like fangirling and talking to her. So much like I met you, I met Becca then too.
I'm sensing a pattern, actually.
I know. Maybe there's a restraining order. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, then we're moving on to the Sherwood family. So Shane is mad that Ashley hadn't made a decision about Grace yet. And it was just so weird. She said that she didn't want to make any rash decisions and wanted some time to think about it. And that Shane's viewpoints do matter to her. And I'm like, bitch, what is there to think about? What do you really need to? You went on 6 dates with this woman. Like, or if that's even true.
I don't think it's true.
No, neither do I.
I doubt it. They look like they had just met.
their chemistry was way off. Well, like they'd met like at her wedding that one time. And then this was the first time since her wedding met. Yeah.
And then she pulls out her cell phone and decides to text her breakup message. I don't know.
This whole thing was stupid because, again, all fake, all made up.
Yeah. And she says she's relieved. And then she starts talking about how, well, she doesn't want to date when she's bigger and more pregnant. I'm like, well, then why the fuck are you dating now? Like, what is You're already very pregnant. This is like all going back to my views on like, what the hell are you doing? This is all for TV. Ain't no way. I'm sorry. It's all fake. Well,
and I have a question because like she said that, but I'm like, yo, like what did you think you were going to like bring someone into the family unit before you popped out a baby? Like you're already, she's six months pregnant.
And I think so.
She's been dating someone. Did she expect to like date them and then stop when she gets bigger like, later?
What was the plan?
There is none. That's why, because this whole thing is made up. They didn't think this through all the way. It's Danielle's theory about paying the PA person or whoever.
Oh, I know what happened, Danielle. I bet you I know what happened. I bet she was not pregnant when they had signed up for the show or showed interest in the show. They got picked and casted. And then it was like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. And then they're like, it's okay. Let's just do it anyways. Kind of like what they did with me. Remember? Because I was supposed to film the show and then I got pregnant and I told production, hey, I don't want to do this. I'm pregnant. They're like, no, it's fine.
That makes so much sense because then that would explain why they needed a fake girl and a fake date and all this stuff.
That's my theory.
That makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm. I should just be a producer. I should just quit my job, go work for Sharp. I'll figure out. I don't know.
I'm just get kidding. Some dignity.
Maybe there will be no stupid ideals then.
I would say that.
Let's talk about the one ideal they were wanting us to do, Lexi, when we went out to eat for not diaries. And they wanted me to do a demonstration at the restaurant.
Wait, they wanted you to do what?
A sex toy demonstration.
At the restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
I told them absolutely not. I said, I'm literally working on my doctorate. She is in nursing school. You're going to make fun of her. And then remember, I said, let me come up with an idea. Remember, I was talking to one of whoever the producer was, I can't remember. Yeah. And I was like, let me just find a guy for Danielle instead. And so I like, we faked like you talking to Ghostface or the Ghost World. And then I was like, this will make better TV anyways. And we just didn't care. And
all made up. 100% all made up.
Yeah.
You literally like produced the producer. I did. A different plot.
I did that.
I was not doing that because I was already in LPN school and I was already getting recognized at clinicals. So there was no way I was going to do that because they would have made fun of me.
Mm-hmm. That's so messed up.
I was like, we got your back, girl. That's crazy. No way. No.
There are actually a lot of people who are on reality TV who end up being producers, or casting people. Like the what's her name from Love is Blind announced on the reunion that like she's a casting director. For
right.
That's like which a is thing.
Awful because Chelsea isn't her name. No, her name wasn't Chelsea. No. What was she's her name?
She's blonde haired from what
she's the seasons? One that somehow looks like she's 48 and 28 at the same time.
Oh yeah. I don't know how old she is. I wonder how old she is.
She's young, but I can't remember her name. I thought it was Chelsea.
No, maybe. Maybe it is. I'm so bad. Is her husband Kwame?
Kwame.
Yeah, yeah.
Kwame and it's Kwame. Chelsea. It is Chelsea, right?
It is Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's working for Love is Blind casting.
Yeah, now. but like the reality TV participant producer or casting director pipeline is like super real.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's like a thing.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's fascinating.
Because that got brought up a couple times. They were like, if you ever want to leave ministry, like you should be a producer. You'd probably be pretty good at it. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that statement.
No, because you're too nice. Like, you're too good of a person. You couldn't manipulate people.
Well, that was their thing. They were like, well, you actually care. So like people will actually like.
So you could use the fact that you're a real person to manipulate other people. Right. They were trying to MLM you. They were trying to MLM you.
And I was like, okay, thanks, I guess.
That's odd. In case you want to leave the ministry and go produce shitty reality TV. I don't know. No, I just.
Anyway, so that's like a real thing. But then also some of the other producers told me that oftentimes like the people who were on reality TV and then became producers aren't like as respected by the other producers. So
like a nepotism hire type thing or something.
Well, just like, oh, you were like one of those people that was like in front of the
you
camera.
You didn't come up the ranks the way the rest of us did.
Exactly. Like you were in a PA to start. Like you just became a producer because you had already been in front of the camera type thing. Anyway.
Fascinating. Fascinating. This has been such a fascinating conversation. I could just sit here and talk to you ladies all night, but you know.
But it's also a Tuesday night and we all work, so and
yeah. We all have things. But I think we made it through the episode, finally somehow meandering our way through. Thank you guys for listening to that. We appreciate it. So we hope you appreciated our edition of Queen Danielle and all that she offered, because there's some funny shit there. Thank you guys. Okay, episode 200. Any words? Any parting words? No.
I love you guys, and I'm so happy to Katrina that you invited me to be part of the show. I love you. I'm so happy.
Yay! Okay, episode two. What?
I'm just really grateful to be with y'all. I didn't think I would be here for the 200th, so this is kind of cool. And I got to meet Danielle, which was like awesome.
Yay!
I love you, girls.
Danielle is a repeat customer on the show.
Yep. Like my third time, I think.
Yeah, fourth. I think so. Something like that. Thank you. And we appreciate you and love you so much. And I mean that genuinely from the bottom of my heart. And I love you all. I love all you ladies. This has been a fabulous group of ladies. That's it. Peace out.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear, but not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well, and let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.